Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The book of Mark is an interesting gospel, for it is a gospel that depicts the Lord as the perfect servant. Each of the Gospels has its own emphases. You see in the book of Matthew the kingship of Christ. We see in the book of Luke the perfect man that was Christ in all of his humanity. And it was appropriate that a physician wrote that because he talked about the healings and all that from a very visceral level. And then John's Gospel talks about Christ in his deity, but it is Mark that tells us about his servanthood. The Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he always reminds us that we're called to that. He that is greatest among you will be servant of all. Now, I'm going to try to do this today in a little bit more of a flyby of the first chapter. It's a lot of information, but I think sometimes we serve ourselves well by looking at the forest rather than at the trees. The trees we will have to land upon periodically, but this is an overview of that chapter because I think there's something here for us. And so when we look at this chapter, I want you to see its heading, for it is from its heading that we get our title. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the beginning of the gospel is really the emphasis. And Mark is going to tell us about this gospel. Now, we know that the word gospel means good news. Everything about Jesus is good news. But this gospel that he brought us is a gospel that had a beginning, if you will. How lovely or how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. Jesus being the first, you and I picking up the baton and taking it to our world today. The good news is that Jesus did come, that he has come, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day for our sins. That's good news. That's good news because we had to do something with our sin. Our sin was something we had to answer for. And when Jesus came, he took care of that problem that would plague us all our days were he not a reality in our world as we know him to be in history. So when it says it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, it doesn't just stop there because Mark is writing something very deep. And yet it's a fast-moving account of the Lord's life. The word immediately is used like 40 times in this book alone. 40 times. Immediately. Straightway. He went here. Immediately he went here. He never allowed himself to be idle. He had 3 years. He was bringing a gospel into its own. Now, since I said to you a moment ago that the gospel is cataloged for us in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, this is Mark writing about the beginning of it because he hasn't done that yet in Mark's account. He has not died yet. It's the beginning of the gospel. It's important to see, because the gospel had a beginning. Certainly it was spoken in the Proto-Evangelium in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, where the Bible says that the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent, but we were in shadows. Now we're in the substance. He has arrived on the scene. And so the title is given to us from that. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news about Jesus. The good news from Jesus. Because he's the one who brings it. And truly it is good news. The Bible says, as it is written, verse 2, in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And if we've read our Bibles much at all, we know this is talking about John the Baptist, who was one who cried in the wilderness, as Mark will tell us in a moment. But what I want you to see as we're looking at this as a skipping through the chapter is I want you to see that this gospel that Jesus Christ has begun, has brought in to the world, this gospel was prophesied. which is huge because it wasn't prophesied once or twice. It was all over the Old Testament. But what I find very exciting is when you dig down and you find out where he's referring to. He's referring to a gospel that was prophesied by the book of Isaiah in these words. You might put in your margin if you don't have a Bible that puts this there. But in Isaiah 40 verse 3, the Bible says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway." Listen to this. "For our God." You see what I see? He just said, whoever comes preparing a way is preparing a way for our God. Who showed up when John preached? Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's our God. He came into the world. The world was made by him and the world knew him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Isn't that neat? You know, when you read the Bible, it is good to not just read it too fast sometimes. You should read fast and go back and then read fast and then read slower the next couple of times. Once you start seeing things move around on the page, then you start landing on a tree or two. This verse tells us, as it is written in verse 2, "In the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now it's interesting because what we're seeing in the first several verses, actually verses 1 through 13, is we're seeing his coming. This is the beginning of the gospel. We're seeing his coming. Who is he? He is Jesus. Who is he? He is God, according to the prophet. This is what's being prepared, the way of our God. He's coming. He came. Mark says this is how it happened. He gives us a real quick view of it. But understand that when John was sent to prepare the way, that the way was a mess. Why do I say that? Because he says he has to make straight paths. He needs to prepare the way. It's been 400 years of what we call a silent period from the book of Malachi all the way to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. You have about 400 years where God has not shown up in an inspired way. He had, of course, histories. A lot of cool things happened with the Maccabees, and you had the battles, and you had the provision of the oil for Hanukkah that established that festival that Jesus himself observed, Hanukkah. They had enough oil for one candle. Evidently, it lasted for 7 days. A miracle. God was moving, but for the most part, it was a silent period. No books of the Bible were written. Listen, 400 years. America's only been around for a little over 200. So 400 years of complete silence from God to his people is kind of huge. Now, he's preparing the way for God. He's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that John did baptize in verse 4 in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, as you understand from my preaching in recent days, this whole idea of repentance and repentance for the remission of sins becomes a little complicated for some people. Some people focus on repentance to the point where they change the gospel. Understand that when this says he preached the gospel of repentance for the remission of sins, this is preparing the way. This is not the way of salvation. You get saved by trusting in Jesus, but there had to be a preparation somewhere. And the emphasis John makes in his preaching was repentance for the remission of sins. In other words, repentance, changing your mind. And it's changing your mind because the remission of sins is about to come to full bloom. What's he doing? He's preparing the way. That's his job. He's preparing the way. So this idea of repentance can stumble many people. But what I want to suggest to you, as I have in other messages, is that repentance means changing your mind. When you change your mind about things, it makes all the difference. If you've placed your ladder on the corporate executive, upward mobility kind of an idea in life, and you begin to realize you've got the car, you've got the wife, you've got the house, you've got the fence, the pool, whatever, you got the vacation and the timeshares, and you begin to sit back like Solomon and say, vanity.
a vanity. All this vanity. Who shall all these things be? I'll just die one day and leave them all behind. You begin to realize that that ladder wasn't the right one. Because the real ladder that makes sense of life is the ladder that is propped squarely upon God. What is God's way? What is God's word? What is God's purpose? So he had to prepare the way. And what is he doing? He's preparing the way by preaching repentance, changing your mind. What did they have to change their minds about? Was it about sin? Was he telling them to change their minds about sin? Well, in a sense, but that's not all he had to change their minds about. What were they looking for? You have to put yourself in their shoes. What were Jewish people looking for? They were looking for a conquering Messiah, right? A conquering, a guy who's going to come in and take Rome down. He says, listen, focus. He's saying, focus with me. He's saying, focus with me. It's not about an earthly kingdom. It's about the remission of sins. Change your mind. Salvation is about the remission of sins. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the politics. It's not about you being the head and the world being the tail. He had to get God's people on board so that when Jesus arrived, he would be received. Now, some of us have to change our minds. In the world today, right, people have this idea. If I get saved, all my problems will go away. If I get saved, all of my sicknesses will be healed. All of my marital problems will be fixed. All of my world's troubling issues will be solved. No, no, no. You need to repent of that, because that'll get you in trouble. Many of us know folks along the highways and byways of life who are in the ditch today because they thought if they got saved, everything would go well. And what they found was there was a whirlwind that took place the moment they trusted Jesus. Life can sometimes throw a lot at us when we become God's child. So we need to repent. We need to change our mind about that. But that's preparation. Even in our day, you had this false idea. You needed to repent of that. Get ready for what? For the remission of sins. You need to figure out what that's all about, because that's the real issue. That's where the ladder needs to be set. Where am I going to put my ladder? I need my sins forgiven. That's what I need. And so he says, and he preached repentance for the remission of sins. Now, it's interesting. It says he preached the baptism of repentance. Now, baptism prior to this time was not something that was done routinely as it is in the church today. Baptism took place on one specific occasion in the scriptures where you see a priest being ordained to his ministry. He'd be 30 years of age. He'd go down to the river. They would dip him down, and it was a consecration into that priestly duty. They'd put some oil on his head, on his thumb, on his toe, and things of that nature. There was a little thing going on there. But baptism proper wasn't just for everybody at any time. Another thing that happened was baptism was utilized for somebody who became a proselyte. God-fearer didn't go to the baptism, but they want to go all the way proselyte, they would be baptized. And it was saying, I'm becoming something new. It was symbolic of a birth or cleansing. And so his was a preaching of the baptism of repentance for the remission of the sins. And we could say for the preparing of the remission of sins. We saw in the book of Acts, didn't we, in chapter 19, where those Ephesians believers did not receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they had been baptized and received every bit of light they could receive. But Paul comes along and he says, well, what were you baptized into? He says, we were baptized into the baptism of John. Well, John baptized unto repentance. He says, that's not what we do anymore. And I think that's significant that the Holy Spirit would punctuate that. That's not what we do anymore. What do? We baptize into Jesus. Isn't that true? That's what we baptize into Jesus. We were buried with him by baptism into death. We were raised in likeness of his resurrection. That's what we now are.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.